This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Most scientists agree COVID-19 originally spread to humans from animals, and that has a lot of you wondering about the safety of your pets at home. So we've brought back Krista Miller to answer your question. She is a veterinarian at Thrive Affordable Vet Care in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I'm happy to be on again. It's a privilege and an honor.
Oh, well, thank you for that. So let's start with a question that a lot of pet owners probably have.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Rhoda Ann Moeller. I'm from Portland, Oregon. Can household pets, specifically dogs and cats, contract or transmit COVID-19? If so, how would they do that? Through their saliva, their breath, their hair?
So let's break that down. Let's break that into pieces. Okay. So start with transmission. We'll tackle transmission in a minute. Let's start with the first part. Can pets contract COVID-19?
So looking at transmission, anything is possible. It definitely is possible. However, this disease in animals is like a primary host or a type of host, period, is still being researched, as well as the disease transmission process itself. There still is no evidence to suggest that animals, including pets that may be incidentally infected by humans, are playing a role in the spread of COVID-19. Still the most important thing, human outbreaks are driven primarily by person-to-person transmission.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about transition. We've got another question on that from Ruby in Western Massachusetts.
I hear that the virus cannot be passed on by pets. Is this true, and why not? If it can be carried on objects others have touched or breathed on, it only makes sense that it could easily be carried on a pet's fur to another person, pet or human.
So, what do you say, Dr. Miller?
So, looking at animals in general, and even the transmission of it from other sources and surfaces, you have to look at them being porous and non-porous. With a lot of your porous substances, the disease itself isn't transmitted through porous substances. You get it primarily through non-porous substance, and that's even secondarily. Once again, the major route of transmission is always through saliva excretions in people. So, even when dealing with pets, it's still wise to start with the same protocols we practice every day for preventers. We're washing hands, we're social distancing, pet your utensils, your food, don't let them lick you in the face, in the mouth, and wash your hands when handling them. So still with the common sense approach is going to be the most important thing, because there's a possibility that the transmission can occur. However, we still have to limit by using common sense.
And okay, so all pets don't have fur. So I'm thinking about, you know, reptiles and other things. I'm sure people probably don't generally let their reptiles lick them in the face and things like that. I'm just speculating here. But are there any? But are there other thoughts about this? Have hard surfaces, you know, turtles, for example, like that. I mean, what about pets that don't have fur?
Right. But even dealing with the pet in general, because you have to just remember the primary source of transmission is not from pets. So we don't even see it as much in them. The research that's occurring is, I mean, it's a handful of animals maybe that have tested positive. And these animals that have for sure have come from households of owners who have either come positive or they probably have been exposed to it, to COVID-19. So with that being said, as long as our preventive protocols, the risk is just not high from pets.
Okay. Let's listen to another caller who wants to know about personal protective equipment for veterinarians. Here it is.
Hi, I'm Detox from Oregon City, Oregon. When are we expected to have enough PPE to allow veterinary care?
So what about you, Dr. Miller? Do you have this safety gear that you need? I'm imagining vets need protective equipment to keep them safe as well.
That's true.
What's your situation?
So we do have protective equipment, and we're still ordering. So currently, animal medical manufacturing companies are not reporting many shortages. You've had a few people, maybe from, you know, specific clinics that may have some shortages, but what they're doing is just like with us, they're limiting the quantity that can be purchased so that there's enough for everyone to try and prevent these shortages from occurring. So, you know, you've seen veterinary personnel being asked to donate PPE to the human medical industry, which can add to the idea of a potential shortage. But with that being happening, we've been asked to kind of postpone elective medical procedures, reuse our masks when we can, and consider reusable items versus disposable gowns to kind of help combat the potential shortage. So right now in my clinic, we don't have a shortage, and we're still seeing when we're able to order, even though we have to order in specific quantities, we just order when we can to try and prevent a shortage. So it's not a huge issue in most places.
Okay. Cheryl Rose in Missouri is curious about the biology at work here. She writes, if our pets are breathing the same air with the same type of lungs, why haven't we seen a mass death in animals? What can you tell us about that?
So I guess if you look at it from a biological aspect, you have some diseases that are just more species specific. As they evolve, they can affect or infect those particular species differently. So in the case of COVID-19, we've seen that even with children, they don't seem to be as affected as adults. Those people that have pre-existing conditions or they're even geriatric are affected differently than those who are healthy. So with that being said, you have different immune systems. You have some that are weaker or stronger than others. So you get different outcomes and different signs and symptoms when those people are infected or exposed. So remember, this is an animal, not an animal to animal issue or an animal to human issue. It's more of a human to human transmission. So it's hard to say why one lung, even though we all breathing air and we have lungs, is just that we're all different species, so we can be affected differently if we're infected at all.
Let me make sure I get this next question, and I'm sure this is something that you're concerned about as well. We have a number of questions from people who are concerned about how to care for the pets of people with COVID-19, and I'll just play just one of them for you. That's the only thing we have time for. Here it is.
I'm a single senior with a pet and no family living close to me. What is the best way to ensure that my pet is taken care of if I had to go to the hospital with COVID-19?
It's tugging at my heart. I wish I could help, but I can't. So, Krista, what plans should pet owners put in place?
So here's what I suggest. If you do have family and friends, definitely network with them in advance in case something does happen to you. But in this case of this question, this person has no family, but they may have a friend or even someone that they're from their vet clinic that they can contact. However, making sure, first of all, that you, if you do have a pet, consider making a pet emergency kit that has at least 2 weeks of your pet's food and any medications they may need. Get them microchipped, have them up to date on their vaccines, heartworm, flea prevention. And maybe you could look at the long-term boarding idea of boarding a pet. Hospitals have quarantine protocols in place already. So being able to board a pet long-term, knowing what they need, that can give you some short-term arrangements until the pet or the owner returns from the hospital or whatever the case may be. Making sure they have proper identification, like their names, contact of the owner, and people knowing what their medical illnesses are is going to be super important in a time like this.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's Krista Miller. She's a veterinarian at Thrive Affordable Vet Care in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for talking to us, and thanks for answering our questions, and stay safe.
You too.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking about what sports are safe to play during the pandemic. If you have questions, send them our way. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News. We hope we'll see you tomorrow.